Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning, Boston. Welcome in to the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Brendan Glasheen in for Joe Murray again this week. Dan Lifshatz is here. Tucker Silva as well. Good morning, Dan. Good to have you here. Well, good to have me here. Good to be here with you in person this week.
Yeah, it's about time, Brendan. Enough college basketball games, will you? Okay? Enough. I'm tired of it. Just get your butt in the studio. No, I'm kidding. I'm happy to have you here, man. Look, no Joe this week. So, obviously, show going to be different, which is fine with me because Joe needs a break, dude. Like, don't you think that Joe does enough on the station? Like, he deserves a little bit of a break from me yelling at him, laughing at him, calling him square, doing the whatever it is.
I mean, that's what makes you appreciate each other, though, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you see family, you know, like, okay, you know, good to see you. See you next holiday. That's what makes you appreciate each other's time. So when you get time away, you decompress, you reset. And you go, man, I really miss doing the pod. I miss doing the show with Dan. So you guys are going to be great next week.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, he's in parts unknown. He doesn't want me to say where it is, but it's somewhere nice and sunny, so he's happy. But, you know, he's right now, he's going to be living the good life for another couple of days, whatever it is here. And then, you know, next week, really, at the end of this week, things start picking up. Conference tournaments really start in the next week or so, and after that, we're full-fledged in the March Madness. Obviously, we're past the All-Star break in both the NHL and the NBA, so there's a lot to talk about, a lot of future stuff on the board. There's a ton of, I mean, really, right now, next week is really when NFL draft stuff starts to pick up, too, right around conference tournaments, and we can actually talk about a little bit of that today. I know I didn't put that in the show email, fellas, but we have some interesting movement early on the number one overall pick odds on the board, and it really is across the board. You've seen DraftKings move this number quite a bit from early in the season, so you know, there's definitely some movement there. There's a lot of stuff that's about to pick up. And obviously, we do a draft show here, Brendan. We like to kind of give some over-unders. Last few years have been very profitable in that scenario. So there's not a ton right now. Biggest markets on the board, first quarterback taken. And number one overall pick. There's briefly some over-under markets for very low limits for specific players. But we're going to, you know, those markets are really going to open up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and there's a lot here, too, for starting quarterbacks with that movement going around as well over on DraftKings. And as Dan mentioned, a loaded college basketball slate. I just wanted to add about Joe. Joe hasn't tweeted since February 13th, so he has, like, separated himself.
Oh, yeah, no, he's off the grid. He's off the grid, man. It's nice. I'm planning a vacation in like mid-April, right? Yeah. So like after college basketball, before the NBA playoffs, you will not see me tweet. Yeah, I will be MIA.
Now will you go on Twitter, or it's like sign off?
I mean, it depends where I'm going. If I'm going out of the country, because I'm debating either going to the Caribbean or going, you know, like to Miami. So like somewhere in between, right? So if I'm going to Miami, I'll check Twitter, but won't tweet. If I'm going to, you know, the Caribbean, I'm not even going to bother.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I want to sit on the beach and sip drinks. I mean, I have not had a legitimate vacation since COVID started. I was like the last person off that cruise ship when COVID started in February 2020. I got off and the next day they locked all the cruises like in the water. So that was me. And so I've not taken a vacation since. I need a vacation.
Yeah, it's about that time, right? Football wrapping up. Like you said, the draft's coming up, but more so college basketball. It's a big time of year. So once we get into April, and then you get a little bit, you get that window there with the NBA and the NHL, they wrap their regular seasons up. So you get a window right before it really heats up for the postseason. So we did want to talk a little Celtics. We've been on the Celtics now the last couple of weeks on the show. It's, of course, worth discussing. They're playing well. The market continues to shift across the East. The Eastern Conference, to me, is as compelling as ever. Or in a long time. I shouldn't say that. Not ever. I mean, the East years ago was way better than it is now. But really, since LeBron left the conference, this is the best. Or it's as compelling, I think, as it could be, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, to me it is, and as you kind of said, since LeBron left, I'd put it like 2018. I think that's, you know, probably fair to kind of like a fair area to kind of put it in, like where, you know, what kind of where I guess I would say, you know, after LeBron leaves Cleveland and goes to LA and whatever, I do think that this is kind of an intriguing spot in terms of, you know, what happens in the East, because it is so wide open. I think you can make a case for literally anyone 1 through 6. I think you can make a case for literally anyone right now. I still don't believe, I mean, I know Milwaukee won last year. I think that's a tough road for them to kind of get back to. I'd say, you know, Miami still feels a little fraudulent to me. I know they're number one in the East, but they still feel fraudulent-esque. Like they still don't like have it all together. I don't know. I don't really like them. If I'm talking seriously about a team to win it all, Chicago, Philly, sorry, from out of the East, excuse me, Chicago, Philly, Cleveland, Boston, Brooklyn, maybe Toronto. I don't think so. I just don't believe Milwaukee does it again. Like, I think they luck boxed in their way into the NBA finals last year, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know,
Kevin Durant's big toe was the difference.
I mean, and Kyrie getting hurt and James Harden getting hurt. Needed so many things to happen to even get there. I just don't see that breaking their way again. And Miami, I don't know. I still feel like they're maybe a piece away, and I know they're number one in the East. I personally don't really like them as a team.
Wow. That surprises me.
Yeah.
With their experience in a series, that could be problematic.
I know. It's just, I understand how people feel about that. They're just like, they're a team I don't believe strongly in. It's very similar to Utah this year. I didn't believe strongly in Utah last year. I still don't believe in them this year. Like, I don't know if you can win with Rudy Gobert as a main anchor there. Because he's just, I mean, you saw how teams just abused him last year in the playoffs. I mean, a great defensive player of the year. You want to give him the award again after last year's playoff. I think that's embarrassing. But we can get into that market today, too, because the fluidity around that market, in my opinion, is very strange. I don't agree with the numbers. I think there's still value to be had with a few guys on the periphery. So, I don't agree with that market, but we'll see. I think the NBA is more open this year than it ever has been. The entire league saying that. I think it's more open than it ever has been. Even more than 2018, you knew Golden State was coming out of the West.
Yep.
You knew that. Like,
with now, Durant, right.
Yep. Now you have no idea. You have no idea who's coming out from either side. You know, you could probably make a case for any of the top 5 seeds in the West. Similar, you might be able to make a case for any of the top 8 seeds in the East. Like, it is a crazy year. So I do think that we're going to end up seeing some crazy things this year. I think we're going to end up seeing a pretty decent long shot in the NBA Finals this year.
Okay. That's, wouldn't surprise me as well. That's an interesting thought. Just another thought too on Miami. You think they're a piece away. That was actually a team I thought, because Pat Riley's always making phone calls at the deadline. Not to say he didn't, but they didn't make a move at the deadline. But you could make the case the Lowry and Tucker additions in the offseason were what they needed to do to firm their roster up. But Yeah. What'd you make? Did you watch any of Harden last night or see any highlights of Harden? That looks like it's going
to
work.
Yeah, that. So actually, I wanted to get into that. That looks really scary. And if you're looking for a betting perspective, I'm very interested in potential second half overs for Philadelphia in the future. And mainly because of this, you're going to get Harden and Embiid at the free throw line over and over and over and over near the end of games there if they have the lead. Because, those guys are going to continuously draw fouls. They had 36 foul shots as a team last night, which was, that's a decently high number. Those two are going to be very dangerous together in the in the right scenario. And if they have a few shooters around them, look out. That's a problem.
Even with the officiating tweaks to that, that Harden lean-in thing that he got away with before in terms of attempts, I guess you did say end of the game. So, to your credit, that might be a case where, like you said, fourth quarter, and you're trying to close out a basketball game, that's when they can rack up free throw attempts. That's a big number. 30, like you said, and they made 30 of them. 30 for 36 as a team.
Yeah, Harden had 9 last night. He's not going to get his usual 15 a game like he had in Houston or whatever, but he's still going to get to the line 9 to 10 times a game. I mean, that's a problem for teams, You can't have a guy who shoots like that from the free throw line getting there 9 times. It's a very tough way to be a team, especially in the playoffs. So to me, if you're looking for a way to bet Philadelphia, especially with Harden and Embiid, I'm looking at second half overs now. Early on, I think you'll be able to find some value because the numbers probably won't have been adjusted nearly as much. I think after 5-10 games, obviously that will change. So this is a very quick thing. But I mean, if you look last night, the second half over went, fourth quarter had 69 points. So this is going to be one of those things where I think it's going to be a second half over because the free throws are just the disparity is probably going to be massive in most of these games.
Interesting. So yeah, James Harden last night had a big game. Hit his overs across the board, points and assist prop. His assist prop is 9 and a half. He had 12, 27 points. I think this points prop is in the low 20s.
21 and a half.
Yeah.
So 21 and a half last night, yep.
Maybe, did he miss rebounds? He was at 8. Hit 8 rebounds last night.
I actually don't know the rebound prop off the top of my head. I know the assist prop and the points prop, he went way over. Mm-hmm. He went over on the threes prop. He went over on his PRA as well, which is points, rebounds, assists. So, again, not a surprise when you put up those numbers. So, yeah, he had a monster game last night. No, he's not going to play like that every single night. But him playing next to Maxey and Thybulle, that is fantastic for him because he does not have to work nearly as hard defensively. They're going to be a little bit smaller on the backcourt and the wings, but they're going to be able to put Embiid and Harris in the front court, and then you pull a guy off like Millsap. Danny Green can defend wings. Like, that team, moving on from Curry sucks because he fits the roster so perfectly. They're going to have to find another way to another 3-point shooter to kind of mix in there. But man, this is a good team. This is a really good 76ers team. And moving forward, like that's going to be a problem in the East. Cause they're a legitimate contender right now.
They're the fourth favorite to win the championship on DraftKings, the DK Sportsbook. Sixers at plus 700 to win the Eastern Conference. Third, that's interesting. They're at plus 370 to win the conference. So Milwaukee is your second favorite in the East. But when it comes to the finals, the Sixers are at plus 700. The Bucks are at plus 750.
Yeah, what that signifies is that they might have Philly favored over Milwaukee in a series in the East. So that's how that would be signified there. It's funny, prior to the Harden trade, Philly was 6.5 to 1 to win the East. Now we're seeing them down to 3, 3.25, 3.5. I do think, obviously, that trade, in my opinion, made both teams better, especially when Brooklyn gets Durant and Simmons back. That's going to be a problem for teams going forward. Still, to me, what are they, 6-1 in the market right now to win the title? Still not good enough. I think Brooklyn, you got to start looking for value of Brooklyn, 8, 8.5 to 1. Because I do think that they're going to end up being one of those teams that's going to be right on the border of making the play-in tournament. They're probably going to have to go. They're going to have such a ridiculous path to get to the finals. They're going to have to play one of the top two most likely the seeds in the East, and you have to face probably another top, you know, 3 to 4 seed in the East right after that. I see it very unlikely that Brooklyn is going to have any sort of easy path here. So to me, you need something truly valuable to place a wager with them at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they've got 22 games left. Yeah. Like, I think folks lose sight of this. It's not the second half of the season. There's a quarter left in the year. Right?
21 after they lost to the Celtics.
Right.
Yeah, so they're dead. So they're down to 21 games. And I think, they're in eighth right now? They're 8 games behind. And they're 2.5 in front of Atlanta for that cutoff, 3.5 in front of Washington. They need to find a way to stay 3.5 games above their head, because I think they're probably looking at that 9-10 spot. Like, I think that that's the realistic spot where you're looking at Brooklyn. They're probably in that 9-10 spot. They might be below 500 when Durant comes back.
They're a play-in team, though, right? They're not cracking the top six. Unless Cleveland spirals out of control, because I don't see how the Heat, Bulls, Sixers, Bucks, or Celtics fall apart.
So I think the one team you have to be concerned there is Boston. I do. And by the way, I don't think it's going to happen.
Like, that's fair, Dan. You're being fair.
I don't think that's going to happen. Personally, I'm very high on the Celtics. I added more money to their
win total.
I
saw. Let's go, dude.
Yeah, I added more. So I personally don't think that's going to happen. I'm just trying to be consistent here. If there is a team that I'm concerned about there, Cleveland's been consistently good all season, especially at home. They're 18-9. They're so good at home. I just don't see them falling apart. The Celtics, to me, are the team out of that six, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we have our top six. Unless Toronto makes another big run, I think we have our top six. The Celtics right now have, Detroit today, and then who do they have?
I think it's the Pacers.
Okay, so they have Indiana. So, like, they have 3 games right now, or, you know, 2 more games to start against teams that they should absolutely get victories against. You're fully healthy. Your coach has finally figured out how to use a rotation in the NBA, which only took him, 60 games. You know, so, I mean, they're a team that's firing on all cylinders. I do not see the Celtics falling. I'm just telling you, if there is a team, I'd be concerned about it's them. But Brooklyn is a play-in team. That's the reality of the situation now.
Yeah.
They're a play-in team. And unless Durant and Simmons come back earlier than expected, I think that they're probably a play-in team. And, again, it's going to be interesting what happens with the vaccine mandates in New York, because that obviously will help dictate their future as well. If Kyrie can play home games, that's a huge addition to the team moving forward. So, you know, there's a lot of circumstances, a lot of question marks around that team right now.
No question. And here's a date maybe to circle: March 6th, Sunday, 1 p.m., ABC game, Celtics home against the Brooklyn Nets.
Now, if you had to guess right now, how many of Kyrie, Simmons, and Durant will be in that game?
2.
Is it in Boston?
In Boston.
In Boston. Okay, so they'll have Kyrie.
Yep.
I'm going to say one. I'm going to say that we're probably still 3-4 weeks off from getting Durant. And then it looks like, you know, Nash was talking about it. He says Durant's going to come back before Simmons.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Trying not to make, like, I understand what Ben Simmons, if he has something going on, I'm not trying to make light of it. But it's like, is he not in basketball shape? What's happening here?
That's the deal. So Simmons is not in basketball shape. And if that's the case, again, adjusted win totals at the All-Star break, you know, for Brooklyn was 42.5. 11 games out of 22. Sorry, 12 games out of 42. Can they go 12-10 down the stretch? They're 0-1 right now. So, you know.
And their schedule, their next, like, 7, brutal, the Nets. Like, their schedule coming out of the break, not easy. Here, real quick, just to give it to you here. The Nets go to Milwaukee Saturday, ABC game, 8:30. That's the primetime game tonight, so that's tonight. Raptors twice, home and home. Miami at Boston on March 6th.
Yeah, and they're 9.5-point dogs to Milwaukee tonight. I don't foresee them winning that game, to be honest with you. Again, this is a team that, you know, you should not be looking to take a championship price on them or an Eastern Conference price on Brooklyn right now.
You got to wait.
Yep. You got to wait another couple weeks, a week or two. And then let's see where they are and that price.
Could get silly, potentially. please give us a call here on the Sports Hub this morning for the Over-Under Show, 617-779-0985. We're going to talk some basketball, NBA, college hoops, big Saturday, of course, as the season, regular season winds down and conference tournament time is just around the corner. We'll also get into some college football and NFL futures as it pertains to the 2022 NFL draft. That's all coming your way for the next couple of hours. Brendan Glasheen in for Joe Murray with Dan Lifschatz, Tucker Silva as well on the Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Your telephone number if you want to reach the show. DraftKings Over Under Show up until 9 a.m. per usual. Brendan Glasheen in for Joe Murray with Dan Lifschatz and Tucker Silva. Talking a little NBA to get us started. It's a compelling season in the NBA. It's worth talking about. It's actually fun to discuss. It's compelling conversation. Who's coming out of the East? Even the West with the Chris Paul injury. I think, Dan, there's a case to be made. Like you said, there are five teams that you think in the West you can make a case for. Now, are any of those five teams in Los Angeles? Did you watch any of that game? I mean, you had some Marvel movie time last night.
Yeah, I watched the end of that game. I watched the end of that game. Yes, like the final 5 minutes in that game.
Now, 5 minutes of regulation?
Game time.
Yeah, that was freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, the review. I mean, the reviews took like 45 minutes for LeBron. I mean, that was insane. You gotta speed it up, NBA. Like, that was ridiculous how long that took. Yeah, no. I mean, if the Clippers don't have Kawhi, you probably can't take them too seriously. I mean, it's embarrassing that the Jazz lost to them, but you probably can't take them too seriously. And the Lakers, like, look, as much as I think that if they make it into the playoffs, like, someone's got to be scared of them. Like, having those three switch it on for playoff mode, it feels scary, like, just talking about it. But I don't see it. Like, you don't see it on the court. It's hard to see it. I do think, though, last year, if Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, they were people forget, they were toying with Phoenix. Phoenix, what, went up? Was it 2-0 in that series early on, I think?
I think you're right. Or was Lakers were the 7, Suns were the 2.
Was it 1-1? I honestly can't remember the way it worked.
It ended in 6,
right. The Lakers, I know the Lakers won game 3. I think they might have been up 2-1. And for whatever reason, I feel like that was the case. And then midway through game 4, they're toying with them, and Davis gets hurt, and that's the series, in my opinion. So I believe that that's how it worked. I think they split in Phoenix, and I think they won.
You're correct. Okay. Yep. So game 1, Phoenix won by 9. Then the Lakers won 109-102 to tie the series. Lakers up 2-1 after game 3.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, legitimately, the Lakers were toying with them in game 3. If you guys don't remember the Lakers bench going crazy, like I'm saying, LeBron's just toying with them. Look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't believe in that Phoenix team. I believe last year was a complete and utter aberration, and everything we saw last year should have absolutely no effect or carryover into what you think about teams this year. Not unlike the bubble. It was a totally different season. It's absolutely nothing alike. You cannot take anything away from last year and say, well, look what happened last year. The Phoenix Suns are not a dynasty. That is not a team that's on the verge of a dynasty or has dynastic, you know, people in it. Like, Chris Paul is a great player for sure. And Devin Booker probably deserves a lot more recognition than he's getting. But after that, I mean, DeAndre Ayton had a great playoff, but DeAndre Ayton is a, you know, a 15-10 guy. Like, let's not get too crazy over DeAndre Ayton and what he is.
Keep an eye on him here the rest of the way, and I'm agreeing with you in terms of he's going to get exposed a bit with no Paul. That's how he gets most of his points. Lobs, inside touches.
He somewhat offensively has the game of Robert Williams. I think Robert Williams is a heck of a lot more dynamic than he is, which is also scary.
Ayton's a number one overall pick, right. So... of course, you're just naturally you're going to expect more of his game than a Robert Williams ticket at the end of the first round.
Right. And then, of course, Mikal Bridges, I think, is a big part of what they do as well. But nonetheless, like that's just the team right now, if you're asking me who's my favorite coming out of the West, it's not Phoenix. I don't believe in that team. We'll see. I don't know if it's Golden State. I don't know if it's Memphis. And, you know, kind of speaking about, you know, Memphis. There's a lot of people talking about this Defensive Player of the Year award, okay, because there is a fluid market going on right now for this award because, I mean, really early on, it was locked up, in my personal opinion. It was Draymond Green, and it wasn't very close. Draymond gets hurt. Rudy Gobert comes back into the picture a little bit, so, you know, he was definitely second in line right there, right? You know, Draymond gets hurt, and, you know, right now, he was plus 150 last week. Draymond Green at DraftKings right now plus 700, which basically is signifying that a lot of teams probably think he's done for the year, for at least the regular season.
Or possibly he's missed too many games.
Yeah.
Right? Or I'm just asking the question.
No, but I think when you make a jump, for instance, Draymond was plus 180 on last week, right? The start for Sunday last week, Draymond Green in the market plus 180, Rudy Gobert plus 140. So those are the odds in the Defensive Player of the Year. Now, Green, in my opinion, there is some news that maybe has not been publicly leaked to bettors or something like that, and now we're seeing the market Draymond plus 700. Second in line, Giannis at plus 425, third and tied with Draymond, Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies. Rudy Gobert, the favorite, at minus 130 right now on DraftKings. I think that is a price that probably needs to be, first off, I think that that's a price. If you have any Jaren Jackson Jr. right now in the market, like I personally do, I can tell you right now, go play Rudy Gobert. There's still plus money out there. There's plus 130 I'm seeing on some of these local bookies. Shop around for the best price. I don't have all the prices in front of me, but shop around. You'll find a better price than the minus 130, in my opinion. If you have Jaren Jackson Jr., you absolutely must take Rudy Gobert. Here's why. Giannis Antetokounmpo is really probably more in the talk for MVP than he is for Defensive Player of the Year. Antetokounmpo is third in the MVP race behind Embiid and Jokic. And yes, a lot of people are calling it a two-man race, as am I. But Giannis is more likely in the talk for MVP than he is for DPOY. And I do think that you're probably looking right now at a two-man race. And I think the odds are going to swing in the next couple days for Jaren Jackson Jr. I think you're going to end up seeing Jackson in the 4-1, 5-1 range is very, very shortly. And I gave him out 150-1 a couple weeks ago. I got him 150-1. I gave him out 13-1 a couple weeks ago on Twitter. I said, go, there's still value. Go take him. You can probably get 13, 13.5-1. Some people were able to get 18. He's now 7-1. And I think by the end of next week, we're going to see a switch in the Giannis and Jaren Jackson values. And I think Jaren Jackson's going to be 4-1, 5-1. He's already 5-1 in some places right now. And I think you're going to start seeing him be competitive with Gobert. If Gobert gets hurt or is not maintained the way he's playing right now with Utah, be very careful because Jaren Jackson Jr. is the defensive anchor of that Memphis team. I think that he's going to get votes. I really, really do. I think remember the people who vote on this at the media? Rudy Gobert got exposed in the playoffs last year. Exposed.
I think there are two arguments that very much help your case, and here are the two. Number one, voter fatigue is real. Voter fatigue is real, and that could come into play with Rudy Gobert. The other thing, too, is the Chris Paul injury. What if Phoenix takes a little bit of a dip and Memphis continues to rise? They're like the fun team. They're like the team that everyone is in on. Now, Ja's a big part of that, right? Ja Morant, and he's having an MVP. He's sort of maybe making a case to be in the discussion for MVP as the stretch run unfolds here. But you mentioned Draymond being out with Phoenix. Maybe they take a step back here down the stretch. That helps a Jackson case here down the stretch. And you mentioned... Now, that number you got him at, 150-1, was that before the season started, or did you wait the first couple weeks into the
year? No, and there are people who got much better numbers than me. He was probably about a month before the All-Star break, he was 450-1.
Wow.
In some books. William Hill had him 450-1. DraftKings had him 150-1 a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Like, this is not something that wasn't readily available for everyone on the market. This was a couple weeks ago, and I was able to get a little bit down, not nearly as much as I wanted to, but I was able to get a little bit down at 150-1. And he's 7-1 now. I'm telling you, I think this is a two-man race. It's going to be Gobert, and it's going to be Jaren Jackson Jr. at the end of the year. That's my personal opinion. Again, I don't think Giannis is more of an MVP type than a defensive player type. Like, those are the votes that Giannis is going to get. He's not going to get the defensive player of the year votes, in my opinion. Like, that's not something that, and I know he's won it before, but that's not something that really happens to guys in the MVP race. Usually those votes kind of go to a different player because you don't want to vote for the same guy in the same category. Voters are asked to spread it around. Like, it's a very weird voting process in the NBA. So because of that, I think, okay, well, if Giannis is going to be third in the MVP race, he's not going to get the votes in the defensive player of the year race. Like, people aren't going to vote for him in that scenario, which is why I think we're going to see the odd shift. I think you're going to see some value at Jaren Jackson, even at 7-1 right now. I think that's a play you have to make. And if you're going to bet Jaren Jackson, I think you have to take a look. If you can find Gobert at plus money, I think that's a decent edge. Go, you know, ride the two-man show right there, because I think that's going to be a two-man race.
All right. And that's a number you suggest to get now.
I think it's going to be now. I think you have to get it now, because I think by the end of the next 2 weeks, it'll be 4 or 5-1. And after that, I think he'll probably be, by the end of the season, I'd say Gobert's probably minus 200-ish, and Jackson's probably plus, I don't know, plus 120, okay. 150, something around there to kind of take it. And I think we'll see the market kind of, it will be a two-man race, very much like the MVP is right now in most people's eyes. I still think that getting James Harden absolutely crushes and kills Joel Embiid's MVP potential race here.
Because, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, you're going to disagree?
I said I don't disagree with you. I thought the same case right when they got him. That's going to take away from looks, just everything. Everything about his game, the adjustments, having the ball. Harden for the first time, and I know we've talked Harden a little bit already, but I was just thinking about this. For James Harden in his career, he's played with Westbrook, Durant, Chris Paul. This is his show. Like, the ball is no questions asked, to your point, second half overs, free throw attempts at the end of the game. Ball's in his hands. No questions asked. It's his ball at the end of the game.
I think so. I mean, do you want Joel Embiid taking the last shot? Probably not. That's not. Yeah. I mean, has he done it? Absolutely. But that's not the guy you want him to be. You got James Harden to be that guy.
And I think Embiid's okay with that, to be clear.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jimmy Butler was the last good player he played with, and Jimmy Butler's no offensive assassin.
I think that's what he wanted Ben Simmons to be.
Yes.
I think that's why it's part of his frustration. So I think when you take a look at this, I think, you know, just in terms of value for the NBA awards right now, Jokic at plus 270 to me, which is the current price on DraftKings, which is actually, in my opinion, a pretty decent price compared to a lot of the rest of the market. I haven't seen a ton posted this morning. I'll keep looking. But, you know, 270 to me, I think there's legitimate value in Jokic as well. And, in fact, I'm going to PP that talk if you don't mind. Give me Jokic plus 270 right now to win the MVP. I just think that's the way you got to go. So I do think that there's value there. And I do think that, again, taking a look at these awards, you're going to see, I mean, again, you know, Rookie of the Year probably locked up with Evan Mobley. Barring an injury, most improved player. I don't think Ja Morant wins the MVP, but I think most improved player is something that he is probably going to win. Coach of the year, I still think you can make a case for J.B. Bickerstaff if they finish top four. So if you think there's value on Bickerstaff there, I get it. Monty Williams is a big, big favorite. And then Sixth Man of the Year to me is wrapped up. It's Tyler Herro, and it's not very close. Oubre is the next guy at 17-1. I don't think there's any value there. To me, the open races right now are Defensive Player of the Year and the MVP. And I think that after that, you're getting, you know, you're really in slim pickings. But I do think there is still value there. And, you know, Jokic to me, plus 270, represents that value. Because Denver without Jokic is nothing. Philly with Harden down the stretch here, what happens if Philly goes on a run of like 5, 6, 7 wins in a row? No one's going to say, oh, that's Joel Embiid. That's Joel Embiid winning MVP. You know, that's MVP candidate Joel. No, it's going to be Embiid and Harden, Embiid and Harden, Embiid and Harden. Like, it's going to be a very different discussion.
No question. It changes the narrative very much so. Before we make the transition to college, the 7-game slate in the NBA, Celtics have the noon tip, 11-point favorites against the Pistons. Is there anything on this board today you'd like to get to before we make the switch to college?
Yeah, give me the Celtics under 215 today.
There you go. Yeah. Early start under.
Early start in Detroit against a team that, by the way, let's not forget, if you heard the Celtics talk about Detroit after that game, they were mad that they lost that game. They were mad. They were like, I know it was kind of a letdown spot for sure, without a doubt, but they were mad. And Robert Williams wasn't in that game.
No Smart.
And Marcus Smart wasn't in that game. And both those guys, you know, assuming Smart, I heard was a little banged up after the game. But I'm assuming he's going to play today. Both those guys
after
are
in. After the Brooklyn game.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I think he probably, you know, a little banged up. Not a surprise. But I think both those guys make a massive difference defensively for you. Again, more Williams than Smart, in my personal opinion, just the way you play them. But you know, having Derek White and Marcus Smart on the floor, I mean, that sucks. I mean, that straight up sucks for other teams who are trying to score at the guard position or whatever. So to me, yeah, this is an under. I think the Celtics, you know, the Pistons had to shoot at a ridiculous clip from three to win that game. I don't see that kind of reoccurring. I do think that, you know, the 11, probably too much in Detroit. Coming off that Brooklyn butt whooping, I think that number is probably a little bit inflated, but I don't want to take Detroit here. I'm going to take the under, and I do think that that's probably going to be, you know, the side I feel most comfortable with in the early game.
And you have to feel good about that number, too, just because the Celtics have been so good defensively. Defensive rating is number 2 in the NBA, which I don't think most folks realize that. Like, even with their struggles early in the year, they're only behind Golden State in defensive rating.
And since the start of 2022, they're number 1, and it's not very close. And ever since they got Derek White, that number has gotten even better. So to me, this is going to be a team that, again, moving forward, they're going to have to put defense is going to translate into offense. And I think that that's what Ime Udoka was trying to convey to this team early in the season. And just, it didn't work. And there's a lot of people who are trying to give Udoka credit right now. I got to be perfectly honest with you. I don't give Udoka a lot of credit for this turnaround. I don't. I give the players a lot of credit for the turnaround because, to me, Udoka figured out how to not play bad players and figured out how to use rotations. Like, that should be something that he should understand after coaching under Greg Popovich and coaching under Team USA. And I'm not going to
give... Well, and just star players in general. Like, think of all the stars he's coached. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard, the Sixers teams he's been with, Brooklyn. I mean...
That I'm not going to give a guy credit for doing what pretty much, in my opinion, every coach in the league should be able to do with the Celtics team. I just don't give him that much credit. And yes, they were banged up. And yes, they had injuries. Guess who else deals with injuries? It's not just the Boston Celtics.
The whole league.
The whole league deals with injuries. So I just don't understand how the whole league can figure out a way to set rotations with injuries, but Ime Udoka couldn't figure it out for 60 games, and now we're supposed to give him credit. That, like, to me, that's not how this works. And I'm not, you know, I was very much on the I'm okay getting rid of Udoka train early on. I'm still on that train. I think he's going to cost you later in games. The Celtics in close games this year have not been good.
Yeah.
By the way, 1.1 score game, they just lost another one to Detroit
right
before the All-Star break. So, again, he's not been great in these close games. When he starts making real changes to what he does late in games and actual things that, you know, really coaches really truly affect games, then I'll feel a little bit differently.
Brad wasn't the problem.
I don't think Brad was the problem.
Right.
I don't think Brad was the problem. And I,
the trade for Derek White has made Brad look even better.
I agree. And I, by the way, I don't think Udoka is the solution. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out what happens here. But yeah, I don't think Udoka is the solution. But I also don't think that he's an issue anymore. I think he's gotten to the point where he went from a negative value to now he's just where he should be. Just an average coach. Get your rotations in. He's not doing anything special at the end of the games right now.
All right, we've hammered the NBA here in the first hour of the show. We're going to make our way now to the big, big college basketball slate, one of the final Saturdays before the regular season ends and conference tournament time is on the horizon. So get involved on the show, 617-779-0985. Brendan Glasheen, Dan Lifshatz, Tucker Silva, over-under show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The DraftKings over-under show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings over-under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, music to my ear hair. Love this.
We're close, man.
Yeah.
We're really close.
Very much so.
I'm going to be in Vegas for the first round. And I am.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas. I go.
So that's not vacation.
It's a little bit of both.
Well, I'm only asking because you said that you are going on a vacation.
Yeah, no, that's April. That's like a break. I don't know. This is like a business trip more.
Yeah,
right?
It's a business trip.
Now it's a business trip with a little bit of partying, a lot of partying, but it's also a business trip. So it's like not really vacation. It's more like work hard, play hard.
Nice.
That's on my bucket list to go for the first round of March Madness.
Dude, just hey, you should come with me. It's gonna be. I mean, I have a bunch of things lined up. My buddy CT Betts, who I do. Dude of the Hustle Pod is out there. We're I'm lining up with him. I have a couple friends who live out there. In Vegas, so yeah, there's going to be a crew of us that's going to be out there. It's going to be a very interesting time.
So sweet, if you could take the podcast live there.
Now here's the question: do I wake up at 4 a.m. and do the show?
I was just going to say, but should I pencil in work in here with Joe Murray on Saturday?
I'm debating waking up at 4 a.m. It's really going to depend on how banged
waking up
I get.
You're gonna be awake.
Yeah, don't wake up.
Yeah, you're not
just
going
stay
to bed.
Up.
Stay up. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
That sounds really tough to do, Tuck.
Oh, yeah, I know. It wouldn't be me.
Because remember what time the games start there.
Oh, I know.
See, but like, here's the thing. I'm going out. I'm as of right now, I'm planning on going out Tuesday night, right? So if I'm there Tuesday night.
So that's first
Friday. Friday night, I'm going to be burned. Like, I'll be burned out.
Oh, you're going to go in there Tuesday?
I'm going there Tuesday.
Oh, first okay. Four. Yeah. Wow. You're going to be cooked by then.
Yeah, I'm gonna be burned out. Yeah, not this Tuesday. I'm talking about. I think I'm going out there.
No, I know. 15th? Yeah, that week.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be burned out.
So that'll
by
be
Friday,
but that'll be first 4 week.
No, that's round one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
round one's
that's
Thursday, round one. Isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah.
Right, but you'll see first four games.
I think so. I think they're Tuesday.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going Tuesday night, so I think I'm going to miss the game.
My point being is you'll get there. There will be something to play, Dan.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be focusing on the first four games, but
that's
maybe.
Fair.
Maybe.
That's fair.
Maybe.
What was my follow-up question to that? Wow, I just drew a blank. I'm trying to think. Well, anyway, we got a lot of college basketball games today. It's a Saturday,
there's
of course.
A ton of games.
A ton. There. I think 140. It's approaching 150. Some absurd number.
Well, this is the last Saturday of like an insane slate of games. I believe next week you're gonna have all the conference games, right?
Conference tournament games. Yeah.
Or maybe
definitely in the mid major.
Actually, I'm wrong. I think there is one more week. I think I'm incorrect. I think you're gonna have one more week of big games. I think it's gonna be all. Yeah, it looks like one more week. So
yeah, mid majors might start their conference tournaments.
There you go. That's what it's gonna be
at the beginning or very end of this week coming up, or end of next week, whatever. What jumps out to you today? I mean, there's a lot to dive into.
Well, I mean, I think we should take a couple breaks to discuss this, but why don't we start with the early slate, because there's a bunch of really good games. I'll list the good games today, and we'll kind of jump in. Purdue, Michigan State. I think that's a big one for Michigan State. We were talking about this off air. Purdue in a tough spot today. We'll get more into that one. That's a big one for Michigan State, because are they going to make the tournament? It's going to be interesting. They only have 18 wins right now, so they're going to be close. Kentucky, Arkansas in Arkansas, big game. That's a big game. Arkansas coming off a big win against Florida. To me, that's a big one. Auburn at Tennessee. Auburn coming off the Florida loss. That's a big one. You talked about Duke Syracuse. Now, I don't think it's a big one in reality, I don't think this game really matters that much, but it's a huge narrative game because it's Duke, it's Syracuse, Mike Krzyzewski's last season, et cetera, et cetera. Sneaky big game in the Big Ten, Wisconsin-Rutgers. Rutgers has been on fire with the exception of their last game against Michigan. This has been a massive, massive turnaround for Rutgers. They have a chance, a fighter's chance to make the tournament if they beat Wisconsin and Indiana the next two games. They have a chance. They'll have to put in a very good performance in the Big Ten tournament, but it's going to be an important game for them. And in the big one today, in my opinion, Kansas-Baylor in Waco, massive game. Gonzaga-St. Mary's is a big game. USC-Oregon's a big game. Creighton Providence in the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence. All the Providence fans want to talk smack to me today, so I know this is a big one and it's important for them. So look, Providence -5 right now. So where do you want to start in the sport? Do you want to start early? You want to start Purdue, Michigan here?
Sure. Yeah, let's go right in order. And by the way, you mentioned Rutgers. So Rutgers and Michigan are both last four byes, according to Joe Lenardi. Bracketologist.
Michigan State.
They're not there. They're in the tournament.
Okay, interesting.
They would be a 7 seed right now against 10 seed Creighton.
That's surprising that Michigan State's so high. They're 1-5 in their last 6 games. They have losses to pretty much every quality team they face and a road loss to Penn State. They have 4 games left, including today.
Yep.
If they go 1-3 to make the tournament, 19 wins, does that get you in? I don't know. I think this is a bigger game than people are talking than looking at, because this team just got smacked
by Iowa. Iowa.
Yeah, on the road.
They scored 60 points. Iowa dropped 86 on them,
It was over. It was like 13 in the first half, and then there were 13. I think it was 13 at the half, and then that just ballooned up in the second half, which was big. Purdue is a road game at Wisconsin, okay, coming up next. Now, obviously, they need a win today, but just looking at this, who is their main competition in the conference? It's Wisconsin. They're playing for that number one seeding in the Big Ten. They win. All they need to do is beat Michigan State, find a way to win, hold on, and then you're on the road at Wisconsin. Back-to-back road games for them to end the year. To me, there is no bigger look-ahead on the board today than this spot. This is huge. So I'm not diving into it and playing it. I do think this is a good spot for Michigan State. Again, they're 1-5 in their last 6. Their lone win, a home game against Indiana, where they looked very, very good. But they haven't looked good versus this top talent. And as much as it is intriguing to kind of buy them in the spot today, I can't do it. But I lean Michigan State with the points. It does feel like this is such a perfect spot. This is a huge game for them, because if they win this game, they're in the tournament. They lose this game, and then they lose to Michigan on the road, who's also playing for a for a tournament spot.
Yep, Lenardi's got them as a last 4 bye right now, Michigan.
Then they're on the road at Ohio State and Maryland for the final 2 games there, and I feel confident that they can beat Maryland, but you go 1-3 down the stretch and finish with 19 wins. I don't know if that's good enough. You're going to be right. You're going to be on the talks for first four in, last four out.
We're not going to get any Izzo magic in March, possibly, if they don't win today.
I don't know if we'll see any Izzo magic. Anyway. He feels like he's lost it. This team does not have it. Like, yeah. This is not a good team. I don't feel great about them moving forward in the tournament regardless. So we'll see.
All right, going right in order. What's next? What do you got?
Kentucky, Arkansas.
Yeah, this one's tough.
Okay, so I thought Florida was in a really good spot versus Arkansas. I know Florida come off that Auburn win, but you know Arkansas kind of come off that big revenge game against Tennessee. From last year, they still face Tennessee one more time, but that was a big win versus Tennessee. They're looking ahead to that Kentucky game. I thought it was a good spot for Florida. Florida was leading that game by 6 with like 4 minutes to go, ended up losing the game by 8. Go figure. Kentucky, Kentucky here coming off the LSU win, where again I actually talked about that on the show I did Tuesday. I loved LSU plus the 7.5. They ended up covering that, off that Bama win. To me, this is a massive game for Kentucky because Auburn today is facing Tennessee on the road. If Arkansas beats Kentucky today, they are the number one seed in the SEC.
Wow.
So
we had a caller last week who was on Arkansas. Remember that? We had a caller who was asking about them as a future, and that looks good right now if they can take care of business today.
I still don't love the team and like for in terms of pricing for the future. I still think this is a team that has played far better at home than they have on the road. Their road losses this year at Auburn, at Tennessee, at Notre Dame, at LSU, at Duke. So not a single home loss this year. Those are Kentucky's losses. Excuse me. My apologies. Here are their road losses for Arkansas. At Alabama, at Texas A&M, at Mississippi State, at Oklahoma. So, like, they have lost some games on the road that have been, you probably shouldn't lose that game. Now, the Florida win, good win. I really can't argue with that win. I think that was a pretty good win, but you got to, get it together real quick and go right back into this Kentucky game. This is going to be tough for them. I really do think this is going to be tough. I like Arkansas with the 2.5. I think that's probably the side that ends up winning today. They are a very, very good team. In fact, let me PP. Give me Arkansas -2.5 today. Which means that you know what that means. I'm running colder than cold in college basketball. You could not
do.
Literally, I'm running so cold in college basketball. I'm the weather outside. Like that's how bad I am right now.
But you do.
Yeah. Hopefully. I lost two
That's my logic.
I lost two college basketball games, was it, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday by a hook each. I had Georgetown +2.5. They lost by 3.
They've been covering well this year too. Georgetown.
Yeah. And the other game I don't even want to talk about. The most disgusting game ever.
What is it?
Oral Roberts +3.5. Oh. They were down 1 with 3 seconds left and ended up not covering. So that's all I'll say.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Yep. Plenty to get to still in college basketball. We've only scratched the surface here. We've talked about some games at noon, and of course that Kentucky-Arkansas game is at 2. We'll get you all caught up on the rest of the slate when we come back on the Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.